Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, a conversation about all the good things in the bluegrass with your host, Mike Warner.
Welcome to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon in the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner. We've got a great guest today with Brian Luffman, but I want, before we get started, Brian, I want to talk about the pregame here tonight. We've been listening to the Bedford Band, some of the music that Colin Michael, his band, you got a new song out that's going to be on the next album. What's the name of it?
Plastic Soul.
I love that.
It's kind of a 80s inspired, it's got some synth. It's still very rocky like we do.
Yeah.
But it's just about people being fake.
Well, I'm...
Well, you know, like a plastic soul, get it?
Are you talking about me? Is the song about me?
Mike, you're the furthest thing from being fake. You were in the Air Force and you're a contractor and you work with your hands. I don't think you fit
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, that's a great song. My second favorite song with Bedford Band is the video that you did in the back of the pickup truck through Kenwick neighborhood.
That's a good song. I've Seen It All Before is the name.
What's the name of it?
Seen It All Before.
Seen It All Before by the Bedford Band. Look it up.
The band's good.
The band is great.
It sounds like a 90s funk band. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
We will take that.
But it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. We'll take that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we've been listening to that before here. We've got Brian Luffman here. He's a return guest. You're one of only maybe... three return guests we've had, Brian, and and welcome back.
Thanks. I'm honored. Yeah. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you, Blake.
Yeah, yeah, got nice Blake to meet Warner you. Here. Yeah. He's a new working for Warner Construction again. We're excited to have him. But Brian, I invited you back for a number of reasons, but a little bit just getting back to your Never Say Die bourbon. How's it going?
It's going great. The bourbon market's tough right now. I'm not going to lie. We're in a little bit of a headwind where everyone's reading the news that like Jim Beam's closing plants down and other bankruptcies and such. And people are not chasing bourbon the way they were 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But our sales are at double over last year and they were double the year before. So, I mean, people love our brand. There's something magic about Never Say Die.
Yeah.
But you know, we're starting at zero. So we're like, when we say we're doubling, we're still not like huge yet. There's still hardly anybody knows about Never Say Die yet. Yeah. So we're trying to get the word out about this brand.
Well, and for people who maybe didn't hear the first time, there's a story that goes along with this, the name. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Kind of a legendary story of Lexington that hasn't been told a whole lot. And we're kind of hoping to do that. With the bourbon. So that's what's fun about our brand. You bring a bottle of Never Say Die to somebody's house, you get to tell the story.
Yeah.
So take notes because I'll tell it to everybody. There was a horse that was born in Lexington that most people don't know, ended up breaking a huge drought and becoming the first English or American born champion of the English Classic. Mm-hmm. He broke a 70-year drought in front of Queen Elizabeth and Winston Churchill, but then went on to change rock and roll history. So I'll tell the story here in a second. And we're sitting in a music studio this is all about music. So this, you won't believe the music part of this. So this horse is born on Hamburg Farm, 1951. And that's now it's, you know, obviously not a farm. It's a shopping center, but, and coincidentally, Pat Madden, who was the developer of Hamburg. He called me with this story and was like, Brian, I need you to be my partner and we need to make a Never Say Die. So Pat is involved and the Madden family's involved with this brand. So he's my co-founder.
Yeah.
And so on that farm, 1951, they breed this horse with English bloodstock to try to create a turf champion and try to put Kentucky on the map because Kentucky was not the horse racing capital of the world at the time.
Yeah.
And this horse is born in the barn at Hamburg. Horrible birth. It breaks some ribs on the way out. It's in a heap on the floor. It's not breathing properly. Mm-hmm. It's barely got a heartbeat. They try everything and they're out of ideas and they dump bourbon down its throat. Typical Kentucky move. And the horse, it shocks the system as a newborn as it would be. The horse jumps up. Its heart starts racing. It walks around the barn and then it goes to bed. And they're like, well, let's name him Never Say Die and hope he lives through the night, right? So 3 years later, he lives through the night, the name sticks, goes into training, and he's a good horse, he's a good thoroughbred. They send him to England because he's good on the grass, and he's winning all these turf races, and he's then entered into the Epsom Derby, the English Classic.
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth's there, 250,000 people. Anyone that's listening to this and it's intrigued should watch it on YouTube. You can watch the Never Say Die 1954 Derby and watch Queen Elizabeth with her binoculars and Winston Churchill. And it's you'll get goosebumps. It's cool.
It's cool.
And at 33-1 odds, shocks the world, wins the English Classic, breaks a huge drought. No American horse had won that race since 1881. And so that's enough of a historical, significance that we were convinced that this brand needed to be built and that story needed to be told. But the best part of the story, and I'm almost finished,
No, this
the story will never die now.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So the best part is a bet that was made on that horse. So this woman in Liverpool, it's Derby week, and you know how it is, Derby week here in Kentucky. Everyone's talking about their bets, their picks, whatever. She hears about Never Say Die. This American horse whose life was saved by Bourbon, and she's like, this is going to win. And she can't believe the odds at 33-1 odds. And she decides, she goes around to all of her friends and borrows money from them. She goes up into her attic and pawns her finds her family jewels and pawns them and makes the biggest bet of her life at 33-1 odds. Her name is Mona Best. And with her winnings, she's like, her son's a drummer. Mm-hmm. His name's Pete Best. And he's got a band in Louisville, or in Liverpool called the Quarrymen. And so she says, Pete, I just bought you and your buddies a building downtown Liverpool. Mm-hmm. You guys go paint the walls and you can be the first act of the Castbox Coffee Club. That's what she called it. Uh-huh. And his friends were Paul McCartney, John Lennon, and George Harrison.
Wow. Yeah.
And the Quarrymen got their start at the Castbox Club, which was completely funded by the Never Say Die win and Mona Best's incredible bet on that race. So
that is a great, great story.
Yeah, that's crazy. Right?
So do the Maddens, I know Patrick as well. I think the world of him. Do the Maddens, do they remember, is there anybody that knows what the bourbon was that they gave that little colt that morning?
You know, I don't think the Maddens would know. So actually, coincidentally, John A. Bell III, who I'm sure you probably know Jimmy or John Bell or Gatewood, and Jamie Nicholson and that whole crew, like all of his offspring, have all heard this story from their grandfather, John A. Bell III, because he was the one that gave the shot of a horse, the shot of bourbon to the horse. So one of the Bell family or the Nicholsons might know that answer. I haven't asked them specifically, but I mean, Jamie Nicholson wrote the book Never Say Die, uncovered this whole story from his grandfather telling it over a couple of drinks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's historically, you know, accurate. Yeah. And we're just continuing to tell the story
It's so cool.
But
it's,
nobody knows I don't think anybody knows the name of the bourbon.
Well, you know, it would be folklore if it wasn't, but folklore is great. My mother's father, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, loved bourbon, and he drank Old Kentucky Gentleman. And they, like so many, they closed in the drought in the 80s and 90s when bourbon was in the decline. And I've often thought about reopening one, but somebody's already bought that name and going to redo it. But, there were so many bourbons. There was much smaller community back then, and Bardstown was the hub of it. Frankfort had some, but it'd be interesting to know just exactly what they gave that horse that morning. So
I'd love
not that many mash bills, right?
Back then there probably weren't. No,
yeah.
Who knows? There couldn't have been that many distillers, you know, because bourbon wasn't that hot back in the 50s.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So who knows?
Who knows? Wow. Right. So speaking of mash bills, can you share anything, or is it top secret?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we make our own custom recipe at Wilderness Trail.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that you're drinking is our typical.
Beautiful campus out there, just to interject.
Yeah, in Danville?
It's a beautiful campus, yeah. Mm. I've toured it. It's beautiful.
It is. It's very quintessential Kentucky. It looks like a horse farm or more like almost a cattle farm, but it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And two geniuses named Pat Heist and Shane Baker developed that. I met them before they even developed it, and when I talked to Pat about this, we even talked about making the bourbon over in England, actually, because we wanted to have England be part of the story. Right. And I said to Pat, I'm like, man, we could do that. But don't you think we should make the whiskey in Kentucky and then maybe born in Kentucky the way the horse was and then ship it to England? He was like, fine, let's do that. But how do we make it? And I was like, I know these two geniuses down in Danville. Mm-hmm. And I went and told Pat and Shane the story. And this was before they even built that campus. They were in a garage in the middle of downtown Danville at the time. Yes. And I tell them the story and they're like, well, holy shit, we want to be a part of this. Am I allowed to say it on camera?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. So cut it.
No, keep going. Keep going.
And they were like, oh my goodness, I definitely want to be a part of that. So they wanted to be partners in our brand with us.
Yeah.
And so they are partners in the brand. Mm-hmm. I was actually just exchanging emails with them today.
Yeah.
And so they made a custom recipe for us. Back in 2017 was the first time we distilled our barrels. Mm-hmm. And we store them there for 6 years, and then we actually do an audacious thing, which is ship them across the ocean. And so once they've aged in Kentucky, every barrel goes overseas, ages there for a year in England, naturally. And then we bottle everything in England, which is what makes it truly special.
I've got a question about that process. So
yeah, go ahead.
You know, places with the old school, the Kentucky, they would put the barrels on different part of the rick houses for different climate.
Yeah.
How long are they on the boats? And obviously the seas and sloshing around and the temperature, you know, getting sucked in, sucked out.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool that nobody can really say that it was aged on the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. That we're, I think we're the only one.
It still takes some time.
Yeah,
Jefferson's takes theirs to sea. We don't know what, how far and how long. And I actually think theirs is probably at sea longer than ours. But like ours, it takes about 6 weeks.
But something with the gravity of the waves, like, you know, the push and pull that the atmosphere does, there's got to be something on the ship there.
There's a ton. And have you ever seen the inside of a bourbon barrel? Like, do you know what
I just know the science of what happens inside.
So they, so we're sitting on an oak stage and it looks like just typical oak, but they is that right? Okay. Well, they char the, you know what, out of the inside of a barrel. It looks like black alligator skin, literally. Yeah. Like it's charred. It looks like charcoal.
I see you do it now. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
And
so, and that's part of, not to interject, but that's part of what makes bourbon bourbon. It can't be bourbon if it's not in a new, unused white oak barrel that's been charred. That's part of the definition. So it's and a whiskey if it's something different.
But then 95% of the barrels, actually 99 probably, go into a rick house and they sit there for however many years, and they aren't moved or touched until it's time to dump them.
Yeah.
And then they roll them out into the bottling facility and they dump them. And so what, if you notice, if you think about it, the whole top of the barrel never gets touched, right? Because the liquid's sitting there sloshing below the surface level. So you're already like missing 5, 10, 20% of the of the char up there and all the sugars from that oak. You put it on a boat. And it starts, not to mention getting it to the boat, like riding around on a semi truck, loading it up and all that stuff. The things move for 6 straight weeks.
Yeah.
And that action makes a huge difference. We tried it before shipping it to England and after. I mean, there's no doubt it smooths
it
out.
Cool.
It really does. It, it adds a little more flavor.
How long is it aged in England?
A year.
A year. So it travels over on the boat and then it goes in a rick house there.
I just love the story of
that. Me too. And you're on to something because, so in Kentucky, you know, we have four very distinct
four seasons.
And so, and you're right, these barrels.
And we've got so many brands now where they can, they figured out how to climate control those in climate controlled rick houses where they can keep mash bills the same every year in climate controlled, swapping around. So to have something that's so organic and classic like this, that, here's a real story of something real that's not just the same. Because, you know, you get down too much of a science of something and then it becomes vanilla. Then you're in a doctor's office and they're supposed to be the art of the spirit.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why, though,
the art more than it is, you know, you're drinking the story at some point.
And, and that's exactly why, though, some of the rick houses, the older ones in Kentucky, you know, the different levels, it gives it a different flavor and the heat rises. And so those at the top, you know, it ages differently than those in the bottom. And some, you know, you're talking about the top, some distilleries roll their barrels, some don't. I mean, you know, it's interesting, the whole idea. And what I like about it is it tastes really good.
And that's the art of the master blender, or like you're the master distiller, that they acquire the taste on their tongue because every year it's like they slap the same label on it, but every season, every year, those barrels come out a little bit of flavor. And that's part of the brand, and you trust that. And, you know, I think that's important nowadays, especially after the massive boom. You don't want the Coca-Cola of bourbon. You want it to be unique.
So, well, Brian,
I know you've got a huge horse racing like fan base that listens to your show. And I just think I want to say that we've tried to nail the whole Lexington, Kentucky vibe with like bourbon and horse racing, and having maybe the best story in the horse racing community of that's related around bourbon. I mean, there isn't one. If you think about it, like Blanton's has a horse on top of it, but that doesn't really involve a horse that I know of.
No.
And so we really wanted to try to cater to that crowd and really like have this be embraced. Corey Lanieri, who's a famous jockey, he's going to have Never Say Die on his
All
year this year. He's a big fan of the brand.
Yeah.
I've met Corey at a race. And we have some mutual friends, and we're just trying to get into the horse racing community. So
cool.
Cheer for Corey this year. You'll see Never Say Die on his leg.
Awesome. We got about 1 minute. Blake, what do you got?
I mean, I'm just
putting you on the spot, buddy.
In.
You're
I'm
new, but let's
go. All in.
All right. Do you like bourbon?
I mean, I do not.
Both
have
of your grandfathers loved bourbon, yeah. So you.
Yes, I love bourbon. Yes, yeah. Let's just
Why
go
is there
with
no
that.
Water reserve here?
Yeah,
that's right.
It's
that's
great.
Right.
It's great.
Oh, you know what?
The
water reserve.
The reserve is dropping.
Yeah. We Good will. Answer.
Yeah,
we
will. Talk about that after the break.
We'll talk about that after the break. Before we take the break, I'm Mike Warner, Warner Builders, Warner Realty, 859-421-0800. If you're buying or selling, our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. We give you our very best every single time. If you're building, we would love to talk to you. Give us a call. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back. We've got Brian Luffman here with his Never Say Die bourbon, and it is so good. But as we start this, I want to start the way we did before. The Bedford Band, where are you guys playing this weekend? O2. Mm-hmm. And it's a weeded bourbon, which right. is a little bit different than this. They all have 51% corn.
I guess I never told you the rye mash bill, and you asked me.
Yeah.
Ours is 75% corn, 21% rye, and 4% malted barley. Mm-hmm. So we wanted higher rye because Wilderness Trail is famous for making a really smooth whiskey because they use a sweet mash process.
Yeah, right.
And we just didn't want it to taste like water. We're like, if we made a weeded bourbon mm-hmm. with a sweet mash, I think you would barely taste it. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, it would taste good, but we wanted it to have some spice and some kick in the mouth, but also mm-hmm. like no burn going down. So that's what like I think our bourbon's famous for mm-hmm. is like having some good spice and it holds up in a cocktail, but it doesn't burn. It doesn't have that Kentucky hug.
I like it. So I had a question. We were talking about the barrels. And like I say, we're in the construction business. We're primarily known as home builders. We do quite a bit of commercial work as well. We built banks and churches and retail and offices. We did the penthouses at City Center for the Webbs and Greers. Nice. We've done a lot of things, but we've never touched the bourbon world. But to me, the idea – oh, I know where I was going with this. I'm sorry. I got – but white oak today in my world, I can't find white oak for stair parts anymore because the bourbon got so popular that the bourbon barrelers were the – what do they call themselves? They call them – there's a name for
– Cooperages.
Cooperages. They were buying all the white oak, and we couldn't get it for stair parts anymore. We had to change to red oak. And but it's interesting, it's all white oak, it's a new barrel, charred. We said that, but now do your barrels have Never Say Die on the barrel?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so that's cool.
Yeah, these are custom made for us.
We need one of those because you can't reuse them.
Well, so the problem is they're all over in England. To get an
empty. Oh, because you bottle them over there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So you said.
So I have about 10 here in the U.S.
Okay.
And I'm very cautious with them. Maybe I could probably stick one in here, maybe. But we're going to bring a bunch back. So we can segue to the downtown distillery.
Yeah.
Because we are changing our business plan in a way. Yeah. Not cheating it. Because some people are like, why don't you just bottle some of it here in the U.S. and make mm-hmm. it cheaper? You know what I mean? Because our bottles are like $65 at Liquor Barn, Total mm-hmm. Wine, mm-hmm. Trader Joe's, mm-hmm. a bunch of liquor stores. Ernie's on Harrodsburg mm-hmm. Road always has Never Say Die. He's our best retailer. And Barrel Market in Summit is like the number one retailer in the world. If anyone's ever heard of Brian and gone to that place. But
what's that one?
Barrel Market in the Summit.
Okay.
It's like it's right near, right across from Shake Shack. And they sell a ton of Never Say Die.
Well, not to interrupt, but Kevin Durham is my neighbor, and he's got Ernie's, and stop in Ernie's. That's always
Ernie's
a great
awesome.
Place. Yeah.
They're the best. They've sold the most Never Say Die ever. Now, Barrel Market beat them this year, but those are the one and two. But we're going to make a distillery downtown, and we're going to start bringing, and we're never going to bottle in America. So we're not going to cut corners. We're going to stay at that price, mm-hmm. but we're going to actually bring some barrels back from England and call it our Double Ocean Series, which is only available at that distillery. And so those have traveled back on overseas after being in England for a year. And those will be the Never Say Die barrels that will be sitting
And this
there
will
in
be
Lexington.
At the old Parlay Social.
Correct. Yeah. Right next to Dudley's.
On Short Street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right behind the Fifth Street Pavilion, right?
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
When's that going to happen?
You know, we already have secured the building, put a down payment on it. We've got a tax credit from the Kentucky Tourism Tax area for $1 million of tax credits that we get for, you know, we have to bring tourists through there to get the credits, but that we'll earn it. And
that'll happen.
We're probably starting construction, I would think, in March or April.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And hoping to be open to the public by August, September at the latest of this year.
Downtown needs it. It's amazing. Yeah. And I know this town. When downtown is good, Lexington is good. And there's so much that goes on around. And it's beautiful. It's walkable. It is great for the city. And that block has been down a little bit recently. And just tourists come and it's thank you for doing that for the town. Because it's going to be huge. And there's just so many other businesses around that that'll help too. And great bars.
Bells.
Spread the love, baby.
I know. There's lots of bars around there. And it's so fun when you're here on an October night when there was a Kentucky game. There's nothing better. If we could just kind of elevate that to where
I heard you're going to have live music too, right?
Heck yeah, there's a stage. I mean, you already heard the musical ties of this brand. So like there's a stage there at the Parlay Social. I mean, anyone that's not been in there, it's a typical bar. And we're going to make it turn into a more of an English-style pub, but we're going to keep it like a music-focused bar. And we're going to have musical acts there. And ideally, when people walk out of Thursday Night Live at 8 o'clock, we were just talking about this, they walk straight into the Never Say Die bar and we'll have a gig going on in there. So
yeah,
that'll be cool.
Yeah,
you can't beat that on a Thursday night.
Yeah,
We talked about that before you got here.
Yeah, it is. And that place has always been special to me. It's changed hands so many times. I don't know why, but I think what you've got is going to be very unique and it's going to be cool. So you're going to distill in there?
So I'll be honest, to get a distilled spirits permit, so that's a federal license to distill spirits. Mm-hmm. That comes from the federal government. We've already got ours in process. That gives you the ability to store barrels under bond. It gives you the ability to bottle your own stuff and sell those bottles right there on site for full margin. You don't have to pay a distributor. So that is the main objective with this is make sure we can have a tourism experience for these people that are fans of Never Say Die and they don't know where to go. We're going to give them a home base.
Yeah.
But B is just being able to bottle right there and sell our own product without having a distributor and a retailer taking a fee off of it every time. So which is fine. And we get to sell Never Say Die cocktails and everything else.
Absolutely.
So we're doing a full to have a DSP. You have to have a still, and you have to do 600 proof gallons a year, which is not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to buy our recipe from Wilderness Trail, hopefully, ship that's already been distilled through the real stills. And I'm being honest, trying to make Never Say Die at this facility.
It would take too long.
The world-class distillers with a huge column still, it's five stories high. They need to be making our stuff so it's consistent. We'll make what we need to make, and we will sell that as White Dog at the facility. Mm-hmm. But we're checking a box, and I'll be perfectly honest. And the Kentucky Distillers Association knows that.
Yeah.
And frankly, the federal government probably knows that. But the bottom line is, we will have our permits, and we'll be in compliance, and it will be a licensed distillery. It's just we're not making Never Say Die there. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I'll try your White Dog.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's always great. I just don't want to drink a lot of it.
That's how I picked Wilderness Trail. Those guys gave me the White Dog because they didn't have any aged barrels yet. They were just started making whiskey.
Yeah.
And they're like, try this. I'm like, damn, that's really good. And they're famous for Fred Minnick saying that's the best White Dog I've ever had from those guys. So, the White Dog's good.
So, so I'm backing up. I'm taking all this in, Brian, and this is so fascinating to me. But you said, I think you said you're shipping it to England.
Yep.
They're shipping it back on a boat. But did you say it's still bottled in England?
Yeah. All the bottles that are here in America right now were bottled in England.
So, but when they ship it back in a barrel,
the ones that we bring back, we're only going to bring like 20 barrels, and those are going to be at the distillery, and people can come up and pay for our tour, and they can bottle directly out of that.
Nice.
Barrel proof.
Perfect.
Single barrel. That's, Double Ocean, Never Say Die. Only place in the world they can get it is there at the distillery.
That is so cool. There's, I know you're in my world, in the construction world, for the most part, we're all friendly competitors. There's some that are not, but I mean, but for the most part, we're all friendly competitors. No, I'm not just mentioning names. No, I get along. I'll tell you, I will say one that I'm in love with is Johnny Atchison, my good friend. Nice. He's my best friend in the world, Atchison Construction. If you don't use us, use them. I'll say that. But we went to Whiskey Thief, and they offer that. And you can actually select the style of bottle that you want, and you do a barrel pick, and then you pour yours into a bottle. They've got maybe six different style of bottles that you can get, and then you can pour it in there, and then they label it for you and do all that. And that was a very unique experience for me to take my friends from California there who came up here for Keeneland and let them do that and then bottle it and do it themselves. And then Blake and I, we went last year for Christmas. I take all my sons and son-in-laws and you know, the regular outlaws to, we go to a distillery, and we went to Maker's Mark, and they let us bottle and, you know, and then dip it in the wax and do that. So what you're offering, I think, is dead on to what the experience people want. We don't want to just go and get a bottle and walk out with it. You can do that anywhere. You can do that at a liquor store. What we want is that experience of I did this.
Yeah.
I did this, and I'm bringing it home.
And I don't think we're going to be able to touch Whiskey Thief. They do it the best. I'm friends with Jeff Markowitz, who's one of their executives. They just created that market, and I don't think anyone's going to top it. Like, they've got fans, and it's genius. And the name Whiskey Thief has got such a good ring to it. I mean, we're going to have less barrels to choose from. Ours is all about like the whole never say die experience, not so much the whiskey experience as theirs.
Right.
I mean, we'll try. I want to be as good as what they're doing. Yeah. And I respect the heck out of it. And then Dark Arts, if you're familiar with that brand, that's down at the Distillery District.
It's great. Sarah's a good friend of mine.
Really?
Sarah's awesome.
Yeah, Sarah's great.
She's been offered to be a guest on the show a few times.
She should take you up on that. She's good. She has a YouTube, used to have a YouTube.
Millions and millions of followers.
And Sarah's got a good following, and she's a really good bourbon palate. But Macaulay, who founded Dark Arts, used to do barrel picks at Wilderness Trail. I mean, I've known him for years. They do a phenomenal barrel pick situation down at on Manchester Street too. So there's some good. This is an up and coming bourbon town. Lexington is.
It is. Uh-huh. And you know, perhaps your goal is to be a Maker's Mark. I don't know, but I'm just saying what you've got is special, and being small is not always a bad thing. You know,
we
as a small family owned company that my grandfather started, then my dad took over in 1958, and I took over in, say, 98, perhaps. You know, we wanted to stay small. We wanted to cater to our client and have a personal relationship with them. And our unofficial motto is, our official motto is, anything for a friend for a fee. Colin, you know that. But
I do know that.
You do know that. But our unofficial is, if you hire us, you get us. I mean, there's nobody in between the client and me or Blake or Chris or Tommy. I mean, we're on the job. One of us is on the job all day, every day, managing the people and seeing them. But so,
family local business.
Yeah. And it is. They will be the fourth generation of the company, and which I don't know that there's anyone else in Lexington or Central Kentucky doing that. We build in Louisville. Louisville's a much bigger market. Blake spent a year up there. We built a horse barn in Goshen, Kentucky, out in Oldham County for a dressage competing couple. And we built a beautiful horse barn out there that was over the top in every way. Yeah. But Blake actually lived there on the farm for a year and did that. But even then, expanding into Louisville was only because Lexington has just become, and it's no surprise to anybody, somewhat of a no-growth community for builders. There's no new land being developed. Patrick Madden and his family offered us the very best of what they had, but it's you know, full now. So we're having to expand into some places. But we're going to come back after the break and talk a little bit more about this new bar downtown. What's the name of it?
Never Say Die.
Never Say Die is the name of the bar. I should have known that. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So we'll come back after the break. Mike Warner, 859-421-0800. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. My promise to you is that we will be fair and honest. Signing off.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back. I'm so glad to have you on board, Colin. The great Colin Michael.
I look forward to this.
The great Colin Michael, the Bedford Band. What? So you're the lead guitarist.
I'm the program director of the Hound.
You're the lead guitarist.
We're on the Hound.
Well,
yes,
you're
I am the guitarist.
The guitarist.
How is there a lead guitarist when there's only one guitar?
Fair.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's
there's
true.
There's a bass guitar.
Okay. So we'll give him that.
Yeah. Lead bass guitar.
But you're the producer for the Hound.
I'm program director. I do program stuff here, but I do the programming.
Okay. Very good.
All the music you hear, I picked.
Do you play your own music on the Hound?
Two songs. Not very often, but they are in the rotation.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So tonight, you're playing...
Roanoke, Virginia.
Where is that exactly?
It's in West Virginia.
Virginia.
It's Virginia in a place called Roanoke.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Is it close to D.C.?
I don't think so. It's only 5 hours away and D.C.'s 10, so I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, good enough then. Okay. Back to the show. We're having a lot of fun here today, and we're drinking Never Say Die. I am trying on this third segment the barrel strength whiskey. Tell us about that, Brian.
Yeah, so that you're drinking one that was only available in England. Like, you can't find that in America, period.
Oh.
Now, like, we're going to have it here once we get our distillery up and running. But for the last few years, we've sent over about 80 to 90 barrels at a time.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's really good.
We send 90 barrels at a time. That's what fits in a shipping container. Mm-hmm. They show up over there, and my tasting panel over there tastes through all of them, indexes all those barrels. And picks five that they like. Five's our number because five is the number that Never Said I wore in the race. That the proof on our bourbon is 95. The proof on our rye is 105. Like, five's the lucky number for Never Say Die.
Yeah.
So we pick five barrels, and you're drinking one of them. So that's like one of the five elite barrels that came out of that whole shipment.
That is good.
And it's barrel that's single or barrel proof. You'll notice the proof's not super high. Like a lot of bourbons. These days, you can find 130, 140 proof bourbon out there. People call it hazmat. What's that, like 120? I think
it's 120, 121, actually, 60.5.
Okay.
So, and 121.
We take a step where we put our whiskey in the barrel at 110 proof, where a lot of distilleries put it in at 125. Mm-hmm. That's the max you can put it in at. Mm-hmm. The reason people put it in at 125 is so that you have more alcohol in the barrel. And when it comes time to proof it down to 100, the way you like it, you're adding water, and you're adding quite a bit more water. With ours, we're like, we want to have less water in the – so when we proof ours down to 100 or 95, it started at 120, 115 proof instead of at 140. Yeah. So does that make sense? So
absolutely.
More of what's in the bottle is actually aged in the barrel instead of water.
But I'm going to make a big plug for you guys, and not that I'm
– go ahead.
We've had Mark Rucker on here, who's a bourbon connoisseur. I'm not, but we had some bourbons on here a couple of weeks ago, Colin, and this 120 made me cough. Like, I took a drink of it and almost choked.
Wait, God, I remember that.
It got me. It burned me. It was like, this is so smooth, I can't believe it.
Really?
This is amazing.
I agree.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And let me just say, this says, lively with spice and citrus that melts into vanilla, leather, and caramel. This is England's bourbon.
There you go.
That is nice.
Yeah.
It's a great description of what I'm drinking. And I taste everything.
Can you tell my British partners put that together? It's got some nice, like, you know, it sounds
some whimsy.
A little,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll steal some of that too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's very good.
You got me excited.
Got me excited. So the bar is going to be called Never Say Die Bar.
Right.
And you're going to have a still in there. You'll only be able to drink the White Dog out of the still, but you'll be able to have other Never Say Die cocktails, whatever you want. So Old Fashioned's my favorite.
People who are listening, yeah, me too. I make mine with maple syrup instead of simple syrup. Try that sometime.
Okay.
It's good.
All right.
So everyone who's listening is probably like, what the hell? You're going to have a distillery. You're going to have a bar. You're going to have music. How is this all going to fit in Parlay Social? Mm-hmm. And it's the first floor of that bar, and it's not that big. It's probably 3,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it's going to be the bar and the music side that was like banging when it was Parlay Social, right? That was the side.
Yeah.
That's the spot.
Yeah.
Around the other side of the bar, we're going to wall that off. Not wall. We'll window it off, and it's going to be able to be closed during bar hours. But during distillery tourism hours, like from 9 to 5, 9 to 6, that's going to be our tasting bar and our gift shop.
Yeah.
And then if someone wants to do the full Never Say Die experience where they go up and they get to see the barrels, they can see the still, that's upstairs on the second floor. Nice. And you pay to get a tour up there. You walk in, you're in this English library where they tell you the story, Never Say Die. You watch the video, you get the goosebumps, you're excited about the brand. Then you walk into this limestone lined tasting table and you get to taste all three products. You taste our bourbon, our rye, and then the single barrel that you're trying right now. And then you get to go into the barrel room where we're literally going to try to make it look like a barrel room, like a brick house that you've gone into in Kentucky. And then you get to taste right out of the barrel, bottle your stuff right there. The still's in the next room. And that's the full Never Say Die experience on the second floor. The funny thing is Bob Estes, who I don't know, but I've heard his name enough. He was the proprietor of Barley Social. He built a condo in this pretty sweet place that Colin's been to up on the third floor of that building. And so
that's very cool.
And that's going to just be an Airbnb that we manage. Who knows? Cool. Maybe we'll turn it into an event space someday. And
I thought about turning it into an underground poker ring, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's in the cards. I think it's in the cards for me.
And it's above ground. It can't be an underground poker ring.
My partner, Pat, is a professional poker player.
I'd like to meet him.
You need to get in his game if you want, if you can hang.
I think we became best friends tonight, so we're good.
So Pat's a friend of mine too. I've known Pat for a long time and think the world of him. And his mom and dad were idols of mine. His dad, Preston, Colin mentioned I flew airplanes in the Air Force. I flew the F-4 fighter jet. I flew the Phantom for 8 years. And when I went off flying status in 1989, Preston invited me to his house because he was a pilot himself and he was fascinated with flying, and he invited me to his house, and I had never really met him. I had been to all the big parties that they used to have, which were spectacular, his mom and dad, Patrick's mom and dad, Preston and Anita, but I'd never really met him, and I was quite, I didn't feel I was not worthy would be a good word. I was not worthy to be with this man, but he invited me to come to their house, and he had grilled cheese sandwiches for me, and he ate them too. He had grilled cheese sandwiches and lemonade and sweet tea. And I remember to this day, and we sat like this. And what was so interesting is here's this man who has been so successful, and he didn't really know me, but he had reached out to me and wanted to meet me, and we sat down and had grilled cheese sandwiches and lemonade and sweet tea and talked for probably 3 or 4 hours.
That's awesome.
Just 3 or 4 hours, just talking and chatting through things. And so that was my experience with Patrick's dad, and I've since grown. My partner Dwayne Kohler built Patrick's office in Hamburg, his personal office in Hamburg, and I've known Patrick for a long time, but never been real close. But and it's so crazy, Colin. We've on this show we've talked about life to some degree and how short it is. Patrick and I buried a mutual friend this past Tuesday, Brian Boone, a veterinarian here in town, which was he was the lead surgeon at Haggard Davis McGee, and
my best friends at Haggard.
Yeah, well, Brian was the lead surgeon there, a partner. He graduated from Henry Clay. He was a wrestler. He got a scholarship to UK on wrestling until they discontinued the program. He transferred to Oklahoma State and played pickup basketball with Barry Sanders, who was playing football at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Played, and then he was on the wrestling team, and he was a bouncer at a club called the Tumbleweed, where an up and coming Garth Brooks was playing out there in Oklahoma, and so he got to know him. But Brian developed early stage Alzheimer's 7 years ago. He was 66. He developed it at 60 years old, which is shocking, and he lived 7 years. But he was a great friend of Brian's and mine, and we buried him. And, of course, we talked a few weeks ago when you brought up Blanton's, Tony Mills, our dear friend Tony Mills, you know, just heart attack, died in his sleep. And so anyway, all of us here and everyone who's listening, enjoy every day, right? I mean, because you just don't know. You just don't know. But
you flew fighter jets? I just mentioned that.
You didn't
like,
know?
Like, yeah, very casually. Like
we should probably just interview you about what the hell that means.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. That was a different. But, you know, and I flew in the Cold War for Ronald Reagan. I mean, my entire career was flying under Ronald Reagan, and I tell everybody it was the greatest war that was ever fought where a shot was not fired.
Yeah. I mean, hey, but when I was a kid, I was really big into like aliens and things.
Yeah.
And, so I always heard that the Air Force went to Area 51.
I have been to Area 51. I have been there.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I have walked through Area 51.
So what happens in Area 51?
Blake, you've been asking me this for almost 40 years, and you know, same story. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah,
right?
that is what he told me that when I was 9 and now I'm 41. So,
I joined the Air Force and was fortunate enough to be picked to go to pilot training, which was a whole process, and got selected. And at that time, it's a little bit different now. They set at the end of the class, it was a 1 year class, 52 weeks. The top 10% got what was called fighter qualified. And we started with 56 and we graduated 26 and I finished third and they rounded up. So that 2.6 became 3 and I got fighter qualified and was fortunate enough to get picked to fly the Phantom, the F4. And part of that other story is you tell the story. I mean, one story, it's a great story. I was in a NATO squadron in Austin, Texas, at Bergstrom Air Force Base. There were two Americans. It was mostly West Germans, Brits, and Australians. But there were two American pilots there, myself and a guy named Steve Lindsay. And Steve and I bonded and became close friends. And we actually were in a competition, a NATO competition, and we finished in a dead heat. And it was like a 6-week competition. I tell everybody, I have a trophy, but there's a backstory to that. I had a guy named Daryl Froth in my back seat. And Daryl was, without question, the best navigator in the Air Force. Daryl could do sweep radar, which was mostly the night missions, and he was awesome. And Steve Lindsay had a guy, I won't mention his name, but he was maybe the worst navigator in the Air Force, and we tied. So really, I say Steve won outright. He went on to become an astronaut, flew 7 space shuttle missions, piloted John Glenn when John Glenn went. And I don't know where I was going with that whole story because I just got a signal. We're down to the last 2 minutes. And I really, so let's just talk here at the end. The horse people are tuned in. The Horse Racing Network is on after us in just 2 minutes from now. Tell us when it's going to be open, how we can come there, how we can support you.
I'm scared to death to say when it's going to be open. You contractors know how long that's going
to be. we're quick.
Tomorrow,
How can we support you?
Thank you. I am going to hopefully get this thing rolling. We already have licenses and things in place. We should be open by, I'm hoping, September. Mm-hmm. But, and that's actually like when I would be kind of
well, for the October races, for the fall races.
Yeah, that'd be exactly. Because if not, we've come into the long, dark winter of Lexington. But like, hopefully, as soon as possible, the Never Say Die experience and distillery and bar is all right there, right where Thursday Night Live is, right next to Dudley's. Right. And we're going to be like a home base of like of activity in Lexington. And I really hope that people go pick up a bottle of Never Say Die, who's listening to this, at any of those stores that we mentioned. It's everywhere in Lexington. Yeah. And try the whiskey. It's really good. And the story's better. And you get to tell the story to your friends when you try it. And that's what it's all about. Like, just kind of sharing good times with friends like we are right now. Like, drink some whiskey and appreciate you guys having me, for real.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to make a plug. One of my dear friends and my neighbor, Kevin Durham, go to Ernie's. Mm-hmm. He's got it on the shelf. You can buy this. He won't have this barrel proof, though, right?
No. But when we bring it back and when we start selling barrel proof in Kentucky, in America, our best retailers and distributors are getting allocations of this barrel proof. So
good.
The only places you'll be able to get it are, it's going to be not, I hate to say yeah. kind of like Pappy or yeah. birthday bourbon, right. but like mm-hmm. the only, like there, that's going to be behind the desk. Like Kevin, yeah. you have to go up to Kevin and be like, nudge him and be like, hey man, yeah. you got anything yeah. special? So that's what we're going to have with this barrel proof that you're trying
cool,
to
make. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, nice. We got to sign off. I hate it because I'm just getting started, but Mike Warner, Warner Builders, Warner Realty, buying, selling, give us a call. We our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. I promise you, if you hire us to help you buy or sell your property, we will do our very best and be fair and honest. And as a contractor, contractors are notorious, but we will do our best, won't we, Blake?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll get Blake Warner. He's right back from managing the UK pharmacy, and we're glad to have him back. So give us a shout, 859-421-0800. From 96.1 The Hound, this is where we do the infamous howl, so be ready. What's Are that? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
We're signing off 96.1 The Hound. Ow!
Listen to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon presented by The Hound, 96.1 FM, Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., followed by the Horse Racing Radio Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.